This episode is brought to you by Ursa Minor Outfitters. Folks, I'm absolutely in love with my Loon mug. It's handmade. It's an absolute piece of art. Whether it's at the office or at the house, people keep asking to check it out. If you're not a Loon fan, they also have other beautiful mugs for wildlife fans of moose, bears, and eagles. They specialize in products highlighting the outdoors and local pride through quality design by local artists. They've even started expanding into items beyond mugs, like apparel, dog accessories, and soon candles and more. They also try to partner and highlight other small businesses, and in some cases, forgo profits in lieu of charitable giving to help their community, such as the dog rescue. So check them out, ursaminoroutfitters.com, and enter promo code HIKESMIKES10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. And for our four-legged hiking partners, they also have a portable silicone dog bowl and also a sweet over-the-collar dog bandana. Go check them out, ursaminoroutfitters.com, and don't forget to enter promo code HIKESMIKES10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. Welcome, everyone, to a special bonus episode of the Hikes and Mikes podcast. I'm your host, Ivan, and occasionally I'll be bringing you some bonus episodes highlighting some amazing individuals who are participating in some fun outdoor events or helping some incredible nonprofits, as well as some up-and-coming outdoor companies. In today's episode, we're talking about mental health and hiking with Deborah, who is a certified trauma professional and founder of the amazing nonprofit Paths with Healing, whose mission is to help individuals heal from trauma by engaging in hiking adventures that promote empowerment and resilience. You can follow Deborah on Instagram at PassWithBadia. Deborah shares with us some of her favorite hiking trails in and around the great state of New York, the benefits of hiking and getting outdoors when it comes to mental health, and the great work that she's doing with her nonprofit, Paths with Healing. If you or someone you know is struggling emotionally or has concerns about their mental health, there's ways to get help. Please visit the episode show notes for a link to resources. Without further ado, let's dive into this episode featuring our guest, Deborah. Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of the Hikes and Mikes podcast. I'm really excited to have Deborah on as a guest today. As many of you know, mental health has been something that a lot of outdoor content creators and hikers have been able to share over the last couple of years on how it benefits them and how they use it to kind of disconnect from the day-to-day stresses and be able to heal and rejuvenate. Deborah, I'm really excited to talk to you about all things outdoors and mental health, but we always like to start off by asking our guests how long they've been hiking for and how they got started.
Well, first of all, thanks so much for having me today. I really appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to discussing this with you further. I would say, you know, to start out, I have been hiking since I was a teenager. I grew up in the area that I live in right now and been lucky to live, you know, close to so many different local and state parks that have a ton of great trails. And growing up, I was active and enjoyed being outside, but I also had other interests. So I wasn't necessarily so focused on hiking like how I am right now. For many people, including myself, I think once the pandemic hit, it forced me to get outside more often than not, which reawakened that love I had for hiking in the outdoors. And now I try and get outside at least 3 times a week, but sometimes that's difficult depending on my schedule.
Yeah, no, I feel you, especially with these winter months. It makes it difficult to get out on the trails, especially if they're a little icy or covered in snow.
It does.
But Deborah, you're from the Northeast.
I am.
And the Northeast is a place that I'm fascinated with, and I'm finally going to get a chance to go up there in April. But how would you describe the local hiking scene in and around your neck of the woods?
The hiking scene, I would describe it as an integrative community. And by that, I mean it's filled with people of all ages, backgrounds, and abilities. It's large but small. And no matter who you are, there's always open arms in the woods. You can live in the Hudson Valley, for example, or the Catskills or the Adirondacks, and someone knows somebody. Everybody is very supportive of each other, I think. And that's something really valuable, especially, you know, when we live in a world where many of us feel like we don't fit in. So there's never any judgment in the woods. And that makes people want to come back for more.
For where you live, what are some of your favorite parks or destinations that you like to explore locally?
I think my favorite is Harriman State Park, which I feel like if you were to look at my feed, it's a no-brainer, you know? Right now, I'm trying to redline Sterling Forest State Park. So I'm big in redlining parks. So I've redlined probably at least 10 different parks around me so far. And that number is growing. So right now I'm focusing more so on Sterling Forest, but Harriman is a favorite.
And I hadn't heard of Harriman State Park, and the research that I was able to do on it, it's such a large park with a quite a diverse landscape and a ton of different hiking trails and opportunities. What are some of the things that kind of keeps you going back to them, and any favorite places within the state park that you'd recommend folks checking out if they're visiting?
Yeah, so, you know, Harriman is actually the second largest state park in New York State, which many people would never in a million years think it would be, because it's, you know, you have the Adirondacks, you have the Catskills. So for me, I keep going back to Harriman because it offers a little bit of everything. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, the hiking community is an integrative community, and that reflects the trails that Harriman brings. For example, you know, as humans, we have good and bad days, right? So sometimes we need to be left alone, or sometimes we need a little bit of a push, and Harriman offers that. So if you're having a rough day and need a bit of a push, I would probably recommend the Ramapo Dunderberg Trail. You know, starting at 106, going to Tom Jones Shelter. It's a short hike, get your heart going, but it's beautiful. And if you need to be left alone to crawl out of your funk, for example, I would suggest Parker Cabin Hollow. That's an easy trail, kind of by itself. You'll probably be the only one on the trail, but it offers a pretty path.
Deborah, it's not too far away from New York City, from what I could tell on the map,
correct,
right? It's maybe 2 hours?
It's actually about an hour or less, depending where you're going in New York City. And of course, what time of the day you decide to get in the car and go. So,
and another thing, I mean, you're such a Jill of all trades, because not only are you a mental health specialist, but you're an author, you're a social worker, founder of a nonprofit. But the other one that caught my attention is that you're also a trail supervisor at that state park. And I'm always interested in folks that either volunteer or work at parks. What's kind of like your work day like? As a trail supervisor.
Yeah, so I volunteer by overseeing the southwest section of Harriman State Park, and about 20 maintainers report to me. I run cleanups, different workday projects, just to make sure the trails are accessible to everybody. And these maintainers, specifically my maintainers, and I'm going to be biased here, right? They're amazing. And they're assigned to different trail segments and do maintenance as needed, such as clippings, you know, water drains, blazing. And I get involved or coordinate different projects with them or within the park systems. And if the project is too big for just like one or two set of hands, you know, it definitely provides an opportunity to get more help. So it's not a one size fits all type of role, which makes it interesting.
And I imagine by doing these cleanups and activities, you've been able to find some hidden gems within the park that not too many people have discovered. Is that a safe assessment?
Oh, that is 100% safe to say. You know, Harriman actually has a ton of history, and not many people are aware. You know, Eleanor Roosevelt had a really big influence on securing a lot of land for the park with the, I think it was the governor at the time. I could be wrong, but I think it was the governor. And, you know, there's a ton of different history and, you know, plane crashes, for example, that sit in Harriman that you definitely might have to bushwhack. Although I'm not promoting bushwhacking because you do need a permit, but it's definitely, it brings a lot of history that many people probably don't realize is right in their backyard.
You know, I've said this on a number of episodes, Deborah, but one of the great things that I love about the East Coast is the accessibility. Other states, other parks, mm-hmm. within a short drive of one another. When it comes to outside of your local hiking region, what are some of your favorite getaways there in the East Coast?
So for me, I really love going to Lake George, New York. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of Lake George. It's about 3 hours north from where I live in New York State. And it sits in the Adirondack Mountains. And it kind of provides, you know, that outdoor therapy that everybody is looking for. You can go on the boat, you can go hiking, you know, you can do parasailing. There's just so much opportunity, and it allows you to really disconnect.
And how far away is that, say, from Albany?
Ooh, I would say roughly from Albany, it's probably an hour and a half north. And to give you more perspective, it's like 3 hours away from the Canadian border. So it kind of sits in this like middle place of like New York City and Canada.
I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about this, but the Northeast is known for its epic fall colors. How was your fall hiking season? And did you get a chance to hit the trails?
I did. But, you know, this year it was kind of a hit or miss. I felt like there was nothing. And then it all of a sudden peaked. And then all of a sudden it went away. And even though, of course, you know, peak season brings out all the colors, you know, usually those colors sit there for a while. And I was able to get outside and look at some of those pretty colors, but not as often as I probably would have liked.
And there in your neck of the woods, I guess, when would you say is the average peak? Is it end of September, beginning of October, maybe middle to end of October?
It's been middle October, I would say, for the most part. I feel like that's usually, at least within the last few years, that's when peak season has really come about. I think it changes, but it's usually October. So, but I would say middle October.
You know, we talked about this before we started recording, but, you know, we're, I would say, on the second side of winter. Mm-hmm. It's starting to feel like spring out there for a lot of folks. But from your Instagram feed, the winter months don't stop you from hitting the trails. How's this winter season been treating you?
It's been a mild winter, which is bittersweet. It allows me to hike in comfort without having to layer so much, which is always a great thing. But I miss the stillness winter brings when it does snow. You know, there's something to be said about winter. You know, everybody is inside, but those who are outside just want to embrace that peace and quiet. And I think that unpredictability of the weather can bring different experiences, which keeps it interesting. But it's definitely been a mild winter.
I feel you on that. Seeing the sun for the first time in a long time has been a really great joy. And I think it definitely is starting to feel like spring out here. And Didn't they say the groundhog didn't see its shadow?
Yeah, I think they said spring is coming early, right? So, knock on wood.
Fingers crossed.
See, you read my mind.
Now, Deborah, you have been doing some really great things in the mental health space and combining it with the outdoors. And like I said at the beginning, I think a lot of hikers really gravitate towards outdoor spaces and hiking to be able to, you know, one of the guests said it best, to get outside, to get inside, in the sense that you go out into the outdoor to kind of help heal, to help let go of stress. For me personally, it's been a really great thing during difficult periods in my life to be able to get outside and just enjoy the outdoors, whether it's with by myself or with groups of people. Do you have any personal experiences with hiking or being out in nature that have influenced your views on its therapeutic potential? And if so, in what ways?
Absolutely. There have been times as an adult where I'm feeling anxious, for example, and need to debrief. Right? And the woods give me that. When I'm in the woods, I'm able to think clearly, get everything out, and rationalize those next steps. For example, sometimes we get on the wrong path while we're hiking, right? Not intentionally, but we're busy paying attention to something else. Or, you know, maybe we're talking to a friend. It's also like life. You know, sometimes we get on the wrong path because we're so focused on getting a certain job or fighting with a family member or staying in that unhealthy relationship. And how do we get back on that right path? Are there lowdowns or water crossings you need to get past, right? Do you need to alter your path a little bit to get back to that destination? And those are questions that someone can ask themselves if they're feeling stuck. I know for me, I've asked myself those same exact questions while hiking. Growing up, I had a lot of trauma as a kid. And even though I've worked through it, I'm able to manage it, right? I still have triggers, right? Trauma is something that happens to us. We can't change what happened, but we just have to learn how to manage it. And there are times where I feel like I'm ruminating, right? Or maybe I have a lot of anxiety, or I just feel a little bit irritable. And, you know, the woods, again, give me that outlet to kind of reflect, not feel so anxious, and just take a hold on how to manage those triggers or those symptoms better.
You know, you mentioned anxiety being a specific condition that people have found that nature-based therapy can be particularly beneficial. Are there any other conditions that you've been able to find that being outside in nature can be beneficial in helping develop those coping skills?
Yeah, I mean, like you mentioned, anxiety, right? Depression as another option. Trauma in general, I personally feel has a great effect on so many different people when they're outside in the woods. And I think, you know, no matter what you're struggling with, it is absolutely helpful just to be outside and be in nature, get that fresh air, and take that time to kind of self-reflect again on like, what are your triggers, right? What is triggering you to ruminate? What is triggering you to feel depressed? What is triggering you to maybe be irritable? You know, even if you're just stressed out from a day at work, it's so helpful. And utilizing, you know, metaphor to make someone self-reflect when you're out in the woods is really powerful. And I have found that with clients that I've worked with, it's very powerful for them. So for example, you have blowdowns in the woods, right? It's just like road blockage going through life, you know, like sometimes there's stuff that gets in our way and we're like, oh man, like, how do I get past this? You know, and sometimes we got to get off path a little bit to get back on the right path. And I think that is, again, something that can be beneficial for anybody, no matter what you're going through.
I'm going to have to borrow that line, getting off path to get on the right path.
It's powerful.
That's really great. When it comes to hiking, Deborah, specifically, do you know how it's able to contribute to stress reduction and mindfulness?
Yeah, you know, exercise in general releases endorphins, right? Those feel-good feelings. So practicing mindfulness on top of it is proven scientifically to reduce anxiety and depression. Put those together, you have something really powerful. You're not only, you know, being self-aware, but you're focusing on what's going on presently, you know, how you're feeling, and, you know, you're feeling good while you do it. So it's kind of like reconditioning that really challenging symptom, right? Or that really challenging moment that you're experiencing. And even if you have to sort out those difficult emotions in the process, it's improving, you know, it's improving that experience for you. So for example, there's a technique called the stop technique. And it's a mindfulness technique. Usually it's utilized in DBT therapy. So you can add that to your hiking routine. So for example, S is for stop. So if you're on the trail, you just stop in the woods and you just take a moment and kind of take a breath, right? That's where T comes in. You take a few breaths and then you observe, you know, how you're feeling, what's around you, you know, that's for O. And then you know, P is for proceed. So you keep on going when you're ready to feel like you're ready to keep on moving on. So yeah, that I think that's a helpful technique for a lot of people, whether you're in the woods or whether you're at home, just to stay in the present moment.
Yeah, that's a great technique to kind of keep in mind when you're outdoors next time. Deborah, are there any other resources or maybe recommendations that you would give folks who are interested in incorporating hiking or other outdoor activities into their self-care routine?
Yeah, you know, within the nonprofit I started, for example, right, we offer support group hikes for those who have trauma or PTSD. And for those who don't know, there are 6 trauma-informed principles that the CDC had put out, right? And that's safety, trust, collaboration, peer support, choice, and empowerment is kind of like one principle. And then there's culture. So having a conversation around one of those in the woods when it comes to trauma or just self-reflecting on one of those options can be really powerful and beneficial as an intervention, you know. And for example, somebody who has experienced trauma, right, might have trouble making choices in their life, right? Or maybe they felt like they didn't have a choice because they were sexually assaulted, right? So how can they ask themselves, how do I have a choice right now? What are my choices now? How can I empower myself, right? And I think self-reflecting on those, you kind of find that all these other trauma-informed principles kind of mesh together within these questions that you might ask. So I think that's a good tool to have in the woods. And it encourages reframing, it encourages mindfulness. And again, I think it's an easy but powerful tool to have in your back pocket.
Thanks for sharing those, Deborah. I really appreciate it. I think there's people out there that are interested in getting into hiking for the first time, maybe in 2024. Do you have any tips or advice for individuals that want to get into hiking, but maybe haven't been able to find the right path or group to kind of get outdoors?
Yeah. I think keeping in mind that Rome was not built in a day also applies to getting out on the trail, right? You know, it's not a race. There's no rush, you know? So doing what you feel comfortable with, and again, being mindful and listening to your body is really important. Listening to how you're feeling. If you feel like a trail is too hard, or maybe it's just too long, you know, when in doubt, throw it out. You know what I mean? It's kind of a similar concept. You know, you need to listen to your body. You need to listen to your gut and do what you feel is comfortable for you. So I think that is the strongest piece of advice I would give somebody. And again, there's no judgment in the woods. like I mentioned before, you know, everybody is on the same path, even if their path looks a little different, right? So keeping that in mind, I think, will help motivate somebody who may feel a little hesitant.
Solid advice. You know, you mentioned your nonprofit, and you have been doing amazing work with this nonprofit, which is called Paths for Healing. Can you share with us a little bit about how it came about and some of the great work your organization is doing?
Yeah, so Paths with Healing is a nonprofit where we offer support group hikes for people who have trauma or PTSD. We base our support group hikes with those trauma-informed principles as themes for discussion that I mentioned earlier. And I had this dream for years now and made it come alive. I think my personal experiences with trauma and my love for hiking really just gave me that push, you know, to create this, because I really see the effects that, you know, I experienced myself. You know, we have all walks of life that come to our support groups, men, women, all ages, all different trauma backgrounds. If you identify with trauma, you're welcome to join. There's no pressure to share whatsoever. You can just be there to hike. But the beauty about it is, once the conversation gets going, everybody ends up usually sharing. It might be less or more than other people, but it really creates a safe space for everybody in the woods.
You know, one thing that caught my attention from the website, Deborah, is that a lot of these activities are free for people to join.
Yeah,
right?
Correct. So we don't charge anybody anything to come join in. So, you know, each hike is free. That support is free. If you need support after the hike and you feel like emailing or calling or whatever, you know, we're there as a support system. And me and another board member who facilitate these hikes were both licensed mental health professionals. So, you know, we're there for support. And whether it's with mental health, whether it's with hiking, I'm also a licensed hiking guide through the DEC in New York State. So we know what we're doing on a, you know, hiking level and also a mental health level. So, you know, again, like, everything is free. Feel free to come just to have that support.
For folks that are listening, we'll be sure to post the Paths with Healing website so you can check out and learn more about Deborah's amazing nonprofit work. Now, another thing that you've started that is putting together hiking and therapy is your fellow podcaster, yeah, who is the host of Hiking is My Therapy, yeah, podcast. Can you share a little bit about the podcast and how it came to be?
So, after meeting with different walks of life in the hiking community, I realized that more often than not, someone struggles with something and they use hiking as their outlet. And, you know, like you mentioned earlier, you know, hiking brings that therapeutic piece to it for you, many other people, me. You know, it's just, it's something that can't be ignored. So being a therapist and seeing how hiking is my own therapy, I felt it was important to bring everybody's stories to the surface. And someone who is hiking might be struggling with something that they're still trying to navigate, right? So telling these stories about how others cope in the woods might inspire somebody else to be like, hey, you know, this worked for them and nothing I'm doing is working for me. Maybe I can try, you know, this certain technique and maybe it can help me, you know, manage these symptoms or these triggers.
And you've had some guests that come in and share their own personal experiences on the podcast,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. We've had guests that have trauma backgrounds, depression, anxiety. They're dealing with grief. Maybe they lost a child. There's a story for everybody. And again, sharing these stories, it brings so many different conversation topics to the surface. And hopefully it inspires other people who maybe are doing traditional therapy, right? And while it's working, maybe they need an extra push. And maybe being in the woods is that extra push. And maybe learning different techniques, being in the woods can be like that final piece.
We'll be sure to link your podcast as well in the episode show notes so people can check them out.
Thank you.
We're getting near the end of the regular questions, Deborah, but as a hiker yourself, when it comes to either a summit or maybe an end of the hike, are there any regular routines that you do? You know, for some, it's packing their favorite snack or some sort of drink. For others, it's a moment of zen or maybe looking forward to the meal afterwards. Is there any regular customer routine that you do when you reach your destination or maybe when you make it back out?
It's interesting. Lately, I have been going to a restaurant and sitting at the bar and getting an IPA. So, you know, and some food, of course. But I never really had like a ritual or like, you know, a favorite snack or a favorite food, but sometimes I do bring a beer on the trail, for example, especially if it's a big accomplishment. You know, I think that's really been more of my routine though, after each hike, is going to the bar and having lunch after and having an IPA and just hanging out and then going back home. So
I don't know what it is about after a hike, a beer and food just tastes different than a regular lunch day that you go maybe during work or
it does
during the
it
week.
It does. It's yeah. different. And for those who don't know, when I hike, I wear blue. I feel like I look like a little Smurf, right? So I'm always in blue. So when I go sit down at the bar, for example, I'm always in like a blue sweatshirt. I have blue, you know, pants on. I have a blue shirt underneath my sweatshirt. You know, it's pretty funny.
Now, as a hiking guide, Deborah, I'm interested in seeing if you have any luxury item or items that you tend to pack that fall outside of the essentials list.
I really don't have anything special, but every once in a while, I will bring like a tripod or a selfie stick, for example, especially if I'm with a group of people and we want a group picture. It makes it a lot easier to capture that moment and remember that hike for the day. I think I would say that's probably my only unique item aside from the 10 essential list that I probably bring on hikes.
And, you know, we're still at the beginning of 2024. Are there any hiking or outdoor goals that you personally have for the remainder of the year?
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, I redline parks. So I would hope to finish Sterling Forest by the end of this year. I don't know if it will happen. I also have been hiking the Catskill 3500. And what that is, for those who don't know, there's 37 peaks that you have to hike, I believe, 4 are in winter, and I have 9 left to do. So yeah, it's been a work in progress. I've been working on it for a few years, and it's kind of there to finish. But again, hiking parks in their entirety is more my thing. So I hope to finish that, or I hope to finish both. And with Pats with Healing, you know, something we've discussed is working more with children. So we mainly work with adults right now for many different reasons. So I think that might be a good direction to go in as a goal for this year, is to work more with children.
Is there any upcoming events for Pass with Healing that folks in and around the Northeast could potentially join?
Yeah, so we try and schedule a hike once a month, at least. We try and do more, but it depends on weather. It depends on so many different factors. And if you reach out to us directly, we try not to publicly post it, because sometimes those who experience trauma have perpetrators, for example, right? So we don't want to make a hike public and then put them at risk. So if you contact us directly, you know, we have a private group on Facebook, for example, that, you know, you could view upcoming events, but we purposely do that specifically to have everybody's safety at hand.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that was it for the regular questions, Deborah. We finish off the episode with a round of this or that questions. I'm going to give you 2 hiking related topics, and you just choose which one you prefer out of the two. But the first one is, do you prefer a steep incline or a steep decline?
Oh, a steep decline for sure. And I feel like I'm the only one in the entire world who probably likes a steep decline. But for me, it's easier on my back. I know for those who hike, sometimes have different limitations, whether it's with their back or knees, right? And I tend to have a stiff lower back at times when I hike. And for me, for whatever reason, it's just easier for a decline. So
now this next one's pretty tough, but waterfalls or summits?
I would say summits, because I feel like I'm accomplishing something, or there's a goal or like a light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak, for me. But lately, I've been getting into waterfalls. So I would say the answer would still be summits, but I do appreciate a good waterfall.
And this next one's a trail system question. So do you prefer a trail with switchbacks, or would you rather just go straight up?
I think depending on the hike, I would say that answer varies. But in general, I would say switchbacks, because again, I'm more of a decline kind of girl. So I, you know, going straight up for me just feels a little daunting, which I'm sure a lot of people probably feel that way, but they would probably just get out of the way first and, you know, not go downhill all the time. So, but for me, I think it depends on the hike and depending how long the hike is. But I would say mostly switchback.
And do you use trek poles, or do you prefer being freehand?
I use trek poles. So I actually, speaking of lower back and being old and all that kind of stuff, right? I hurt my back about 2 months ago hiking because I forgot my poles. And, you know, I thought I could do it. And, you know, as humans, right, we make mistakes. And I thought not hiking with them on a non-mile hike would just be fine. And obviously it wasn't. So I definitely learned my lesson and need to bring them on every single hike that I do. So.
And then this next one's about your footwear. Sure. Do you prefer wearing trail runners or hiking boots?
Hiking boots. I feel more secure with the ankle support and also just secure in general. I think with my foot being covered or having a thick surface over my foot, I've always loved to wear hiking boots. I've never really wore trail runners before, but that's my bias. So, you know, I would be open to it, but, you know, but I think I'll always be a boot girl. Yeah. So.
And this next one is another trail system question. When you have the option, do you prefer a loop trail or an out and back trail?
I like to switch it up. I think majority of the time I like loops, but depending where I'm hiking, I think an out and back is always a new experience. You know, many people think an out and back is the same hike, but no, it's still a different hike. And there might be a tree that has fallen, for example, on your way back, or it might look completely different on your way back. You know what I mean? So I think in general, I prefer loop, but I think they both offer something special.
Definitely. Now, when it comes to bodies of water, especially in the summer months, do you prefer to stay dry or do you jump in? And then outside of the summer months, do you at least touch the water or do you prefer to kind of just admire it from afar?
So I have enjoyed jumping in more recently than not, especially if you're on a hike, for example, and it's hot, it's buggy, and you just want to feel refreshed. And there's a stream or a lake right next to you. It is a wonderful experience to just like jump right in, you know? But again, I think it depends on where you are, right? Like where you're hiking. And
now, Deborah, these last three are the hardest ones I've been told. But do you prefer sunset hikes or sunrise hikes?
Sunset, hands down, because I can get up early. I normally get up early, but if it's a weekend, you know, and I'm doing a sunset or a sunrise, I would rather sleep in a little bit and do a sunset. So it's a nice way to end the day also. I can go on a hike beforehand and then do a sunset afterwards if I wanted to.
I like that answer. Yeah. And now this next one, I think I know what you're going to say, but I've been surprised before, but do you prefer spring wildflowers or fall colors?
I would say fall colors. I think the Northeast in general, like we were kind of discussing earlier, has a lot of opportunity for, you know, peak season or just that beauty that fall brings. So for me, I would definitely say the fall colors, although like spring flowers are beautiful too.
Now the last one is a tough one, but outside of the national park system, do you prefer national forests or state parks?
I would say state parks, and I know there's some bias there considering Harriman State Park offers a lot of great opportunity and I volunteer there and all that kind of jazz, but I would say state parks just because, again, I am biased. And it's probably about 5 minutes the closest trailhead from my house right now. So it's easy access for me.
Well, that was it, Deborah, for the this or that questions. You know, if folks want to follow your personal account as well as your podcast and nonprofit accounts, can you share those social media handles?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm more than happy to share whatever information might be helpful. And I just want to say, I really do appreciate you having me today and having these conversations. As we mentioned before, you know, it's really important to have these conversations around mental health and kind of find an innovative, integrative way to bring mental health to the woods.
For listeners, please do check out Deborah's podcast to hear hikers share their personal experiences with healing and the outdoors, as well as her amazing nonprofit, as well as her personal social media page. Deborah, it's been awesome talking to you, and I really appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Same with you. Thanks again for having me. I really do appreciate talking with you today, and I enjoyed the conversation thoroughly. So thank you again.
Thank you once again to Deborah for joining us on this latest bonus episode of the Hikes and Mikes podcast. Be sure to follow her on Instagram at PassWithPadilla and check out the episode show notes for links to Deborah's nonprofit, podcast, and website. If you or someone you know is struggling emotionally or has concerns about their mental health, there are ways to get help. Please visit the episode show notes for a link for resources. This episode is brought to you by Flip Socks. Whether you're on the trail, on the job, or in the yard, Flip Socks will keep Mother Nature out of your boots with their innovative nylon sleeve. You no longer need to worry about any annoying debris getting trapped in your boots during your hikes. Simply flip down the nylon sleeve over any boot to prevent Mother Nature from finding its way inside, keeping your feet comfortable all day long. To get your first pair, visit flipsockswithaz.com and enter promo code HikesMikes10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. And for listeners who use the promo code at checkout, I'll be donating 100% of the Season 2 promo code proceeds to Big City Mountaineers, who provide transformative experiences through connections to nature that strengthen life skills and build community for youth and disinvested communities across the nation. So if you're tired of bits and pieces of the trail finding its way into your hiking boots, pick up a pair of Flip Socks today with the promo code HikesMikes10 to get 10% off. For website and promo code, see the episode description.